Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Gotta Go Lean podcast. I have a special guest today. His name is Jay Watson, and he actually runs a site similar to mine. It's called freeleansite.com, and he offers just an amazing amount of free lean material that you can download, no strings attached. Jay is a teacher at heart, and he just really wants to get that information out and help people. So I encourage you to take a look at it, and again, it's freeleansite.com. So Jay, welcome aboard.
Well, glad to be with you today, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually met Jay probably about 6 months ago, maybe a little less than that, online, as we started both kind of developing this web presence together. And we just decided it'd be nice to get together and do this podcast. And one of the things we've talked about over that time is really employee engagement. And it seems like it's one of those central themes that's important to both of us. So I'm just going to start off by just asking Jay to describe what employee engagement is and why it's so important to lean systems to have those engaged employees.
Oh, absolutely. Love to talk about people is what it's about, right? You know, a lot
right.
of companies, and I've been in industrial engineering and manufacturing, Six Sigma side and the lean side of things for, say, starting my 35th year. So I'm a really old timer back before electricity was invented. But what they say is that a company can have the same equipment, it can have the same products, the same conveyor belts, the same technology, but what the key difference is with a leadership company is how they treat their people, and how they grow their people, and how they get their people involved in improving their work and workplace, making work exciting and fun. As you know, 50% of our life just about is spend at work. It might as well be enjoyable. And as we look at the lean thinking side of things, how can we make it exciting and get people involved in identifying waste and reducing waste in their work? And that's what I'm all about.
So I'm just curious, you know, getting different people's perspective on these things. What are some of, like, you know, if you could come up with like three things that would be things that you would tell a company that's just starting on its lean journey? You know, what would you do to avoid the mistakes of not getting employees engaged with the program that you're starting up?
Well, the first thing, it starts with a continuous improvement mentality. And that's from the leadership team, middle management, and all operating people, all associates and all employees in the company or with the organization. It begins with a belief that things can be better. And when we start with that very basic, simple concept, then improvement initiatives flow from there. And we know things can get better. We know we can improve safety. We know we can improve quality and speed of execution, the third pillar in my belief in improving an organization. But they all focus around people. People are involved in safety and with safety practices. People are involved with quality improvement, and people are involved with identifying waste and reducing waste in the process. People work in the process, so it's really all about people and people development.
Well, when you say things are getting better, how do you...
A belief that things can be better, absolutely.
A belief that things can be better. But, you know, one of the things I see is some companies forget that there's a different perspective of what better is. You know, there's the perspective of from the company and the shareholders, but how do you get employees to see things as better for them? You know, I have this, I'm a believer in the what's in it for me principle.
Well, first and foremost, the quality of their work life is better. They're making less defects. They're redoing things less. And we're so frustrated. You do a good job, and there's a defect or there's a process breakdown. Now you have to redo your work. Nobody likes to redo things or have rework or scrap. It's very debilitating to individuals. We go to work, we want to do great work, and we want to be appreciated for that great work. And I think companies want to produce great products and provide great service. And when you have that attitude again, customers come beating at your door. Also, mentioned in your book, it's reduced costs for the company. It's reduced employment costs and recruitment costs. People are anxious and willing to want to work for these great companies that do great things and add value to the customer.
Well, that's a big thing is, you know, I think your pedigree, you have Honeywell in the past and GE in the past.
And Motorola.
Have you seen...
Motorola, and I was with Motorola University for 5 years, way back at the beginning of Six Sigma, about, you know, that was about process improvement. That was about the quality of the process, and improving an improved process means ultimately an improved product. And that means added value to the customer. And so at Motorola, we got a people, we ran teams. It's done through teams. Not everything is done through teams, but a lot of it is done through teams. But I also want to add in a way for an individual to contribute. It might be through an employee suggestion program. You know, here's a way for an individual contributor that has a great idea, that has an improvement, you know, put up a suggestion program and publicize that and reward great ideas.
That's one of the things that I really find is misunderstood about Lean is a lot of people look at it as a very structured, standardized, that's what it is, but they look at it as rigid also, where there's not a lot of flexibility in it. And I find that it really detracts people from the potential when they look at it as like a one-size solution. You know, when they really think of what you're saying is there are different ways to participate.
Oh, absolutely.
So the people that are really open and able to stand in front of a crowd can do the training or participate in Kaizen events. But like you said, there's alternative ways to give your ideas. And I think that's one of the reasons Toyota's so successful is they have so many different ways that people can contribute to making improvements. And they have what you talked about, that continuous improvement mindset.
Right. I think you're right on. We have to be cognizant of the fact that there's different needs of people. And I think everybody has a need and a want to be better, to do a better job, and to work for a better company or a better organization. So how do we address that? And many ways, like you said, we have to have these vehicles to enable people to easily get involved in improvement. But the counter side of that is we need to recognize and reward great ideas and implementation and initiative, motivation, things like that. What I've said is you light a fire under a team and get out of their way because they are just anxious to put in this improvement because they know their life's going to be better, their work life's going to be better. If their work life is better, guess what? Their home life's going to be better. They're interested in going to work and growing this career.
Well, what would you tell either a manager or an employee who maybe is in a company that doesn't have the same type of structure that, you know, the big companies we mentioned before have and maybe isn't on the right track? You know, they get going and lean and realize that they've done something that's alienated the employees. How would you suggest getting back on track when you have that situation where people are not engaged and you're already started your lean journey?
Right. Well, I do a lot of visual management and visual control, and it starts for me with the value stream. In other words, what are the steps in an organization where material might come in, we do some value-added content, we do some steps, and for some companies, these can be integral, very complicated value stream maps, and for some, just simple process steps. But to me, it starts with what are the basic functions of this organization and post that and get people involved in, well, I get work from somebody and I expect, what are my expectations? I expect the work coming to me to be right and I'm doing a great job and I'm passing it off to my customer. So it starts with what we call a SIPOC, supplier inputs, process, outputs to the customer. Propagation that of a theory or an idea that we're all linked to provide great product or service to the customer. And what is my role in that link? So that's where I would begin, is understanding process flow and getting people to talk about and show what that flow is and what their involvement in that is. What is their responsibility in that?
Well, that's one thing. You mentioned the word expectations when you first started. I think that's one of the big things, too, on really getting people engaged is to have clear expectations. And what I found over the years is a lot of conflict stems just from not having a clear understanding. You know, we go back way back to the beginning of our conversation, where I said, what is better? You know, how do you define it? And better means something different to different people. Those expectations have that gap. I think that's, you know, one of those things to make sure you include in that is how do you manage the expectations of what a team believes Lean is going to do for them and where they what they actually receive from that. I think, you know, you're right on with the value stream is an excellent way to do that.
Value stream
puts
is
everything
a good start,
down.
And even if you're not proficient in value stream mapping, just process mapping. What are the process steps that we go through? And sometimes the waste just jumps right out once you start mapping things and you get the team involved. And the team is the people who are involved in the process. You get them talking about the process. Sometimes the waste just jumps right out in front of you, in front of them, and pretty soon they're off identifying it and pounding it down and getting rid of it. Well, they start to feel better about this activity.
Well, that's a big part of it, too, is the whole idea of getting rid of the waste and getting rid of the problem. It also gets rid of some of the unpleasant parts of work about when managers and employees have those interactions about what just happened. When you get rid of the problems, you get rid of those interactions too, and it's a lot easier to have a good relationship. And not just with managers, also with coworkers. And you talked a lot about the upstream person, what the expectation is from them. If you make sure it's clear expectations and you're getting the consistent work from them, you don't have those conflicts and those rifts that can form in an organization. It's a lot easier to be engaged when you have that type of an environment.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And one way to encourage that is have leadership team supervisory ranks, management directors, vice presidents, celebrate success and say thank you and say thank you a lot and appreciate these people's efforts, all people's efforts, no matter if they're operating on a team or they're an individual contributor, to recognize that because of your effort and your initiative and your great idea and your idea and your willingness to take a risk and put up problem solutions and recognize how we can do better, to say thank you and to have small rewards. And these don't have to be huge rewards. Sometimes even a thank you is reward enough. Or what I have done over my career is say, this is a great job, I'll see you tomorrow morning. And sometimes that's enough. It's like, I can't wait to see you again tomorrow morning so we can get back into this because it's great.
I really think that's great. I think people just don't get thanked enough. And I think that's probably a good point in this conversation to say thank you for coming. I really appreciate this conversation. And I don't know if it shows to the listeners, but about halfway through the conversation, I stood up. I started pacing around. I get excited about these kind of talks.
I've been known to do that over the last 30 years. That's been, you know, some people have asked me, well, what, you know, what's your little special gift or what are you so special? You know, what makes you a lean thinker and, you know, all this. Yeah, I've worked for these companies over the years, and that was just kind of luck. But my gift is to get people excited, to want to jump up and to want to learn more about continuous improvement. And just one idea, just one thing that's been eaten at them, just one new thing they want to try, then I've been successful, and we've had a lot of fun.
It's looking for the aha moment when you can see people's faces light up and they get it. You know, that's
yeah.
But,
and you and I have been running these companies that we do, and being involved with the training that we put out there, both on our websites. You know, we've had a lot of that, and that's exciting, and that's really great payback for us. I mean, that's our paycheck.
And speaking of websites, you know, if you've really enjoyed what Jay had to say today, check out his website. It's freeleansite.com, and just, you know, he's got a lot to offer on there, and I'd encourage you to take a look at it and, you know, take advantage of the resources he's put together for you. And with that, Jay, I'd just like to say thanks again for participating in this podcast, and I look forward to next time we talk.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Anytime, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.